This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled, Are We There Yet?, was delivered on March 6th, 2022. Here now is Pastor Aaron.
Off, Lord, what you want in multiplication and not division would be a beautiful, beautiful prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Brother Frank. Well, good morning, everybody, and happy anniversary, happy 14th anniversary. You should be able to hear that all day today. This is a wonderful thing. I mean, 14 years, this is, I remember when this place here was Cane Field, and now we've been here for 14 years. You know, I remember the day that Pastor Scott told us that he was going to start this church, because Pastor Scott, Pastor Steve in the back there, myself, we're all working to get up at the big church. And what I do remember is that, man, I got really angry. Not because I was like losing a friend, but because I knew I would have to take on all of his workload. And so 5 years without him, Pastor Steve and I, we suffered. And we had to work really hard, because this man can carry one big load. We split them probably between four or five of us pastors, and we still never do the job as good as him. So when the church actually went through a transition, God spoke to me and said I wouldn't be moving on at that transition. And it was a no-brainer where I would get to go. So I'm going to tell you, it's been a pleasure. I've had the pleasure of being on this journey for the last 9 years, and tell you a little bit about my story since I've gotten on board with this journey. Like I said, 9 years ago, I got to step away from the big church and come over here. One of the reasons that I chose to step away is because, like I said, the workload was really, really big, and it was very, very overwhelming. And many of you don't know this, but I actually suffered a major emotional breakdown. And 2 years later, when that transition was happening, I felt the effects coming back, ready to suffer another one. And I thought to myself, you know what, I can go and I can take a break. That first one, I burned all my vacation, took like 2 months off, recharged, and then came back ready to go again. But then it was happening all over again. And Carlin just looked at me and said, you know, we got to pray. Might be time to move on. And I believe that it was, because praying with God, he told me, you could do this for another 3 years. You could go and recharge, burn all your vacation again, burn all your time off, take a lot of time off. And you can go and do this for another 3 years and then die. Or you can take a break and I'll move you in another direction, put you on another journey, and you can serve for a very, very, very long time. Of course, I took the second option, yeah? But it was a no-brainer for Carlin and I, after we had left there, where we were going to come and be a part of what journey. It was here because my, of course, we love Pastor Scott. And then my whole family was over here. So we came here. Of course, along the way, my dad, my mom, my brother and sister, they abandoned. It must be me everybody running away from. But I remember, and I came, and God just said, sit down for a while, relax, get back, get your head back together. Get back in the game. So that's what I did. Now, we came and we took it easy, and Pastor Scott, fully understanding what I had gone through, was really good about this. He never bothered me to get back into service for like 3 hours or so. Actually, it was 3 months. He left me alone and allowed me to just enjoy the ride for a little while. But after 3 months, he came up to me and he said, you know, I want to pick up your license, because our Foursquare license as an assistant pastor, I'm actually licensed under the senior pastor. So he said, I want to pick up your license again. So I want you to be praying about coming on board. So I looked at him and I said, this was in September of that year. I looked at him and I said, okay, that's a good idea. Ask me again in January. And so he said, okay. So he allowed me to take the break. In the meantime, I got to sing with the worship team, got to be a part of a PowerPoint, and small little details within the church. So January came, and I was real quiet, tried to avoid him as much as I could. And I thought I was in the clear, but end of January, it was like January 20th or so, he came to me and he said, okay, it's January. So, you know, what's your answer? And I looked at him and I did something real pilau. I told him, I never say which January. And he shook his head and he walked away from me. But, you know, I went home that night and I got dirty lickings, man. I was feeling so bad about that, that the next day I had to call him up and we went to lunch and I agreed I got to be on, I would come on board, picked up my license and allowed me to serve in the capacity that I was serving. And maybe about 3 or 4 months after that, he said, okay, now I have an assignment for you. Oh boy. And he said, I want you to oversee the worship team. So now I'm thinking, okay, you're getting me back for being pilau to you. But he was serious. And I thought, man, you cannot be serious because I can sing a little bit, but that's where my music talent ends. I cannot tell you the difference between the key of C and the key of H, okay? I have no clue. But in obedience, because God said, I took that over. And it's been a wonderful ride ever since. You know what? Whenever God asks you to do something, he has everybody and everything in place for you to be successful already. The only thing he needs is for you to say yes. I have a wonderful, wonderful team. They take care of the chords for me. I just come up here and I look good. And I get to lead you in worship every week. That's my story. And you have one too. That's what this thing called church is all about. Specifically, here at New Hope East Hawaii, 200-something different stories. Some a few months old, some a few years, some 9 years, and some of you have even been here from the beginning, 14 years. And God takes this and he compiles it into one common purpose, one journey, written and orchestrated by the living God to have an impact on eternity. Now, I don't know about you, but when I look at it in that perspective, I cannot help but enjoy it all the more. Now, it's very simple, real simple when we hit milestones like today, like anniversaries. It's simple to think that we've arrived, yeah? That we're here. This is the end game. The journey is complete, and we can just relax. But there's nothing further from the truth. The truth is that it's time to celebrate, yes. Time to be encouraged, time to recharge, and then time to press forward even harder so that we might be able to celebrate another 14 or another 20 or maybe another even 25 anniversaries together from glory to glory, the way that God means for it to be. That's my hope. I hope it's yours too. But I do understand this because I've been serving in churches now for 35 years. I understand how easy it can be to lose patience. And then throw out those four dreaded words, the title of our message today. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Well, you know, local boys like myself, because we live on an island all our lives, we cannot begin to understand the prevalence of this question. Because the furthest we can drive is like 2 hours. If you drive the speed limit, hour 15 if you're riding with me. We cannot drive that far, so we cannot understand how irritating this question can be. Unless, of course, you're going to Papaiko via volcano. But for those of you who have driven on the mainland with kids, you are no doubt very familiar with this question. You can understand this one. because you can pretty much drive like nonstop for like 24 hours one way. And after a while, the restlessness sets in and the question pops up again and again. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Now, my kids never did this to me. I'm grateful. But I did one time. I did actually have an Are We There Yet experience. And the thing is that the kid in this story was 50-something years old. Because when we were, again, up at the big church, Carlin and I went to this conference along with my dad, who was a senior pastor of the church, and my mom, and Pastor Charlie, who is a Church of Halipuli, senior pastor at Halipuli, along with his wife, Mapu. It was a one-week conference over in Chicago. And on one of the days, we had nothing to do. We had no assignment. So we all decided that we were going to go do something special. And of course, they pick on the young guy, right? Aaron gets to decide, and he's going to drive us where we go. Okay, so I go online, and I look, and I find the place that I think we're all going to enjoy. It's about a 45-minute drive away. The thing is, when we hopped in the car that morning, we went right at traffic time. So, you know, 45 minutes ended up being an hour. And after about an hour, my dad starts saying, are we there yet? Come on, Aaron, we're not there yet. And this goes on and on for like an hour and a half, just complaining. Carlin no vouch for this. Asked Pastor Charlie, they was feeling bad for me. Pastor Charlie was trying to make all kind of conversation. Oh, look at that nice tree over there. Oh, dear. But my dad was relentless. He said, oh, man, we're wasting our day. Come on, let's get there already. And after about 2 hours, 15 minutes of that, finally, the GPS says, destination, 100 feet. And I turn the corner, and there it is, right in front of us, a big outdoor world sign. Hey. And that 50-year-old kid, you should have seen the look on his face. Was worth every minute of his complaining, I tell you. Ask Carlin. His eyes were so big, and he was like a little puppy dog after that. Not one complaint. He was smiling, ear to ear, happy all day. But that was my Are We There Yet experience. And, you know, there was several times when I wanted to stop the car and say, you going to get out and walk. Or I turned in this car around and we went back to the hotel. But let me ask my dad. I couldn't do that. Are we there yet? After 14 years, haven't we arrived yet? Let me answer that one right now for you as eloquently as I possibly can, okay? No. No. We're not there yet. But that isn't a bad thing. You see, arrival isn't the end game. Arrival is already set. It's the journey where who you are and where you are and what you get to do along the way. That's the focus. So this morning, I'm going to quickly talk about the three requirements of this journey that we're on. And I've already touched on the first one. It's what I tell my grandson when he's nagging. I tell him, "Ho'omana vanui," which in Hawaiian means, number one, patience. First requirement, patience. A couple of weeks ago, on my day off on Monday, I was taking Carlin and my daughter CJ and my grandson Kenson. Taking them shopping because it was my day off. And, you know, we was only supposed to go to two places, but then Mom and CJ, Grandma and CJ wanted to go all kind of different places. And after a while, I started to get a little bit unruly. I started to grumble. Oh, you guys wasting my day. I get so many things to do going over there. And then in the midst of my grumbling, out of the back seat, comes this little voice that says, "Mama Nui, Papa, Mama Nui." Patience. 2 Peter 3:9. Okay, and I got to make a correction here. My apology. It's not verse 18 like it says in your bulletin, so you can scratch that out and put in the 9. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God is not slow in keeping his promise. How many of us have come to know by now that there is God's timing, and then there's my timing? How many of us have figured out that God's timing is better? If you haven't yet, then you need to know this. God's timing more better. He sees, just like Brother Grant said this morning, he sees the whole journey. We only see what we're going through. So God is not slow. God is patient. Patiently desiring that you and I finish this journey and that we finish well, becoming everything that he created us to be in the process. Plainly put, God is not done with us yet. And even bigger than that, he's patiently yearning for your friends and your family and your neighbors right here in East Hawaii to have that very same blessing. You know what the very first order of love is? You're supposed to, because we just read that together in our reading on Monday. That was in our reading plan. The first order of love is that love is patient. And that's how God loves us, with patience. And now he's asking that we would do the same. Because this journey that we're on won't always be a smooth ride. Won't always be roses. It'll be a lot of roses, like today, yeah. But more like guns and roses. Because there's a lot of challenges too. I've seen way too many people leave this church prematurely. Walk away from the journey because they've become disenchanted by someone or something that we're doing or not doing. Maybe you don't like certain messages or certain programs that we do. Maybe you don't like the fact that we're forcing everybody to do daily devotions. We're going to talk about that in point two, okay? Maybe you don't like the way I sing. I'm okay with that. Sometimes I don't like the way I sing. But it's what God has called me to do on this leg of the journey. So I'm going to do my very best at it. Here's the thing. If God called you here and orchestrated it so that you would be a part of this wonderful journey, then you belong. So ho'omanawanui. When the challenges arise, and they will, be patient. Revelation 14 spells it out beautifully, where it says, this calls for patient endurance on the part of the people of God who keep his commands and remain faithful to Jesus. Be patient. Rather than nagging, rather than complaining, rather than quitting, do what David did whenever he faced the challenge. In Psalm 40, he writes, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. Now let me say this. Being patient does not mean being idle. Doesn't mean that we just sit and wait for the next challenge to arise. Instead, we get to get ready for them. And that's the second requirement of this journey. Preparation. I warned you that I was going to talk about daily devotions, right? Here it goes. Because getting into the Word of God, allowing it to become a part of you, and learning to do as it instructs you, will prepare you for anything that life can throw at you, like nothing else can. 2 Timothy 3:16. Oh, boy. Okay, I made plenty of mistakes in this one. I apologize. Not Hebrews 12:1. This is 2 Timothy 3:16. Whew, two fails today. You know, since we're talking about failure, let me touch on failure a little bit. On this journey, will there be failure? Yes. Absolutely. Because we're not a perfect people. If you try, there are times that we're going to fail. Like my friend who's really good at basketball, he says this, You don't like miss the shot, no shoot. If we try, there are times that we will fail. You don't know how many times when I'm up here leading worship, how many times I miss my cue, how many times I sing off key, how many times I sing a completely different verse than I'm going at. You don't know, because these guys are real good. And they cover me. But inside, I'm dying because, oh man, I failed you, Lord. You know what God calls failure when you try to do something for him? He calls that worship. So never be afraid to fail along this journey. Be afraid not to try. You know what helps us to not fail, though? Preparation. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Now, we've been doing this soap share thing. That's my word for it. This soap share thing to kick off services since the beginning of the year. And some of you might be mad because Pastor Scott took away our Bible trivia, yeah? Some of you might think it's a waste of time. I even heard somebody say, I don't think that that's irrelevant. Well, let me tell you what the relevance of it is. We are choosing to share with you just excerpts from the daily things that God has been revealing to us. As we choose to be faithful to listen to him, he is ever faithful to teach, to encourage, and to prepare us for the journey ahead. Ask anybody who's doing it. They'll tell you that's true. All in the hope that you'll get it and desire the very same thing in your life. So what do? We get a word from God, reading in a daily plan that'll take us through the Bible, the New Testament 2 times a year, Old Testament once. So we'll cover the whole thing. But as soon as God speaks to us, we write it down. Because we know that anything from God is just too good to lose. Just imagine, if you would. Imagine if somebody came up to you and asked you about your job and or your profession or your hobby. Hey, James, what if somebody came up to you and said, bro, I heard you're a good fisherman. Tell me what you do. Tell me about it. So James starts talking about lures and bait and gear. What if this person sits down, busts out one notepad and pen, and starts taking notes? You know how good that James is going to feel about that? He's going to tell him everything. Not just he's going to tell him everything, he's going to make stuff up. But that's the way it is with God, the Almighty God, the all-seeing, all-knowing God. When you choose to honor him like that, he'll tell you everything. 23 years I've been doing this. God has not run out of things to teach me yet. Not even close. That is how we get prepared. So, patience and preparation. These are both keys that lead to the third requirement, which is participation. Like that word, yeah? Participation. This journey that's called New Hope East Hawaii is not a spectator sport. We're not on this big, big bus with Pastor Scott at the wheel and 200 passengers along for the ride. If you want to look at it like that, then we're on a Flintstones bus with Pastor Scott steering and everybody else's feet sticking through the bottom, propelling the bus forward. You know, I know it's nice to sit back and relax. Been there, done that. Stay away from the challenges. Been there, done that. Eat fried rice, drink coffee. Good message, Pastor Scott. Oh, the worship was wonderful. See you next week. But that's never what God intended when he placed us all together on this journey. He intended that we use our minds and our hands and our feet and our lives and our love, everything that we are and everything that we have, everything that he prepared us for, everything he created us to be, to touch eternity. In Matthew 20, it states, "But Jesus called them together and said, 'You know that the rulers in this world lord it over the people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under him. But among you, it'll be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many.'" You see, God never intended that we would be spectators along for the ride on this journey. He intends that we be the journey. You notice this morning, usually on the first week, I get to lead worship, but this morning, because I was scheduled for the message, I am not like Brother Walt, where he can do worship, do the message, fry rice in the morning, do the announcements, and then wrap everything up, communion at the end. Pastor Scott can do that too. But I'm not like that. You put me over there, and then I'm wiped out by the time I come here, and then you get a two-minute message. So you notice that I asked Brother Grant to lead worship this morning. And he did good, yeah? Grant, what do you say? He was hiding. Is that your first time leading worship ever? Yeah. Good job, brother. Thank you. I told you. But Brother Grant, I've known him since he was here when I got here, and then some years ago, Pastor Scott said, "You know, Grant can sing. Tell him join you." So I did. And he just told me at that time things weren't right. He was getting his heart together, getting things together in his life. So I waited patiently for him to come on board. And then he came on board, and we got to sing together. What was it? Last was about a month. I knew that this was happening. I asked him, "Hey, pray about this, but I want you to lead worship on this date." At least I said pray about it. You know, when Uncle Al asked me to lead worship for the first time, he said, "Okay, next week you leading." But I asked him to do that. So a couple days later, I got a text from him, and he says, "My wife said yes. So I'm going to make like Jonah and run out of the way." And then the laughing emoji came out after that. And then Brother Grant said, I would be pleased to. So he got on board, and I actually got to sleep in an extra 2 hours this morning. So I really love you. But that's what happens when we say yes to the Lord and we start using everything that we are to serve him, and we get involved and participate. Imagine 200 participants, all with different skills, different talents, different passions, different knowledge, bringing everything to the boss. We're going to be moving. "This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for his friends." Jesus Christ. Participation. Get involved. That is the key to the fulfillment of this journey. So, are we there yet? No. Truth is that as long as we're here celebrating another anniversary, we haven't arrived yet. Some will get there sooner than others, but as long as we're faithful, we'll get there, and we'll get there together for a very, very long time. There's a quip from the song that I really love. It's in the Father's house. by Corey Asbury. And I actually love how this first line starts off. He says, "Arrival's not the end game. The journey is where you are. You never wanted perfect. You just wanted my heart. And the story isn't over. If the story isn't good, failure's never final when the father's in the room. Yes, failure's never final when the father's in the room." Arrival is not the end game. The journey is where you are. And the story isn't over if the story isn't good. So make the story good. One of the greatest aspirations in life, one of my greatest aspirations in life is this, that at the end of my journey, I would be able to make the statement, make the declaration like the Apostle Paul did at the end of his journey, where he says, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits for me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing." Patience, preparation, participation. That's how we do it. And the bottom line for today, enjoy the journey. Be the journey. Happy anniversary, New Hope East Hawaii.
Good morning. Okay, so we're on our own little journey over here this morning because I get the opportunity to do communion with everybody. I had a whole sheet of notes, and I was ready, and I practiced my notes, and I had everything good to go, and then somewhere between Orchid Land and here, my notes got lost. But that's okay, because he came separate, wasn't my husband today. today. So, we adapt and we overcome. I prayed about it, and that's just not what God wanted me to speak about today. And also, Genesis wasn't part of my journey coming up today, but as I was sitting there this morning praying about it, and God said, "Oh, take Genesis with you." So Genesis is here. So this past Friday, we got to celebrate the life of a wonderful woman of God, mine and James' friend, Roxy. She was 43 years old. She passed away a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, I'm so thankful for the relationship that we had with her. She was one person that I could call no matter what time of night, and she would always answer the phone. And as I thought about communion this morning, I thought about Jesus dying for us and making a way that we have somewhere to go. We have somewhere that we'll be able to meet up with our loved ones who have gone before us again. And I was just so thankful for that. So I spent that Friday after her funeral, we went down to the beach, and I just sat there and I just looked at all of the family and everyone that loved her. And no, I just prayed for everyone, hoping that one day we would get to see all of them and all of you when our journey here is done. So on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took some bread, and after he gave thanks for it, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body broken for you. You can take of the bread." In the same manner, he took a cup and he blessed it, and he said, "This is my blood poured out for you, the new covenant. Do this as often as you will." You can take up the cup. if you can get it open. Genesis is going to pray for you folks.
Will you please bow your heads with me and close your eyes? Thank you, Heavenly Father, for today. Thank you for sacrificing yourself to save us from all of our sins. Thank you for pouring out your blood to spare all of our lives. Please help us walk down the right path that you guide us and continue to keep everybody safe wherever your name may go. Amen. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Jen and Genesis. Won't you please stand and sing with our closing song? Thank you, Pastor Aaron, for a wonderful message.
You've been listening to Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.